When he moves among us, all that he does, all of his mercy, all of his love, if the pen of a writer could write every day, even this world could never contain how I've been blessed.
Warmth in the winter, flowers in spring, laughter in summer,
song tonight. Thank you, folks. I'm glad you sang it, and it's been a while since I've heard it and I was blessed by it. And that is the truth. We have been blessed. All right. Let's have prayer. Lord, thank you for the truth of what we just heard sung tonight from these folks. And Lord, what a blessing you have been to us, oh, countless ways. And I pray our hearts would never grow cold or hard to all the blessings. And thank you tonight for the reminder. Help me, I pray, in these few minutes that we have left, and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name and amen. Tomorrow, we celebrate the 237th anniversary of the adopting of the Declaration of Independence by the Continental Congress. I remember when we were celebrating the 200th anniversary. And it's kind of funny to say 237th. This document, the Declaration of Independence, had been unanimously approved on July 2nd by the Continental Congress. And it basically proclaimed our freedom as a people and our independence as a nation from the dictates of the British government. John Adams was heavily involved in the work, and the effort to get it approved. Of course, Thomas Jefferson was greatly involved in the writing of it. And if memory serves me right, and most time it doesn't, but if memory serves me right, I think those men both died on July 4th, some years later, like 7 hours apart. And they had been, I'm sorry? You make me sick, Ira. Man, no, 1826. So, all right, so there it is. There you go. Yeah. Right. Okay. Okay. He was there. He was eyewitness. Okay. Amen. So, we were soul winning partners last night. We had a great visit. The man got saved. We were sitting at the kitchen table. The man got saved from the brother of a man that's been visiting here on Sunday and has been saved. And he's been trying to get his brother to come, and we called his brother last night, and he got. I was sitting on the at the table. I saw the cat come in the kitchen. Well, Ira didn't see the cat come in the kitchen, and the cat went under the table, and I'm witnessing to this man. Ira's going. All of a sudden, Ira's going. I thought he was getting in the spirit, and so it was the cat that called under the table, but it was a bad silent partner at that point. I'll tell you, I was ready to kill him. But anyway, John Adams and Thomas Jefferson, yeah, that's amazing that they were so heavily involved in the Declaration of Independence, and they both died on July 4th, 1826, okay, so, and just a few hours apart. It is one of the most revered documents in American history, you know that. And for all these years, America has been synonymous with freedom. In every war involving American military personnel, the goal, now here's my thought tonight, I'm coming back to it spiritually in just a minute. The goal has always been liberation as opposed to occupation. Does that make sense to y'all? The goal has always been liberation as opposed to occupation. Now you think about that. I told a couple times about reading this book, Citizen Soldiers, by Stephen Ambrose. Basically, the book covers the time period after D-Day, which would be June 7, 1944, to the conquest of Germany, which was May of 1945. And the premise of the book is highlighting the heroism of the junior American officers, guys who came out of high school, guys who got off of tractors in farm fields and then became junior commanding officers in the battlefield of England and France and Belgium and Holland and eventually Germany itself. And so it's an unbelievable book, and I've really enjoyed it. Now, one of the most interesting parts for me was the afterword. You know, every book has a foreword, and then it's a lengthy book, and then there's the afterword. And the afterword, Stephen Ambrose gave excerpts from letters that he had received since the book had been published, from American veterans who, some of them, you know, were writing to say what they liked about the book. Others were writing to say what they didn't like. You should have put this in. and others would write and say, you know, you did not exaggerate that situation. I was there. I was a part of it. And I saw that man's heroism. And, you know, it was that part was really interesting to me. And the last part of the afterward was interviews that he had done or somebody else had done with German veterans. So those, the enemy, okay, during World War II. And the German veterans' opinion of the American GI was off the charts. They really revered, even though they were the enemy, they thought highly of the American soldier. And there was a huge difference in the German veterans', the German soldiers' attitude toward the American soldiers versus the Russian soldiers. And one thing they knew that the American soldiers were there to liberate them. They knew that. Because not all the Germans fighting in the German army were Nazis. The SS, you know about that, and then the Hitler Youth, they were the very radical Germans over that were really, really bought into Hitler's goofiness and all that stuff. But a lot of the soldiers fought because it was their duty. And you know how many attempts were made on Hitler's life? Some by the military themselves. And so they knew that the Americans were there to free the people. They also knew that the Germans, the Russians were there for occupation purposes. And by the way, folks, that's exactly what happened. They put a wall down the middle of Berlin. And you had East Germany and East Germany, West Germany, East Berlin and West Berlin, and those who lived in East Berlin and East Germany, they were an occupied people, dictated by a ruthless government, communism. While the people in West Germany, West Berlin, lived in freedom. Isn't that amazing? One army came for the purpose of liberation. The other army came for the purpose of occupation. And so it has been throughout these many years, America is synonymous with freedom and liberation as opposed to bondage and occupation, right? Now, the Holy Spirit moves Paul in chapter 6, Romans, to use the word free, F-R-E-E, three times in this short span of verses, beginning with verse number 18. Look at it, chapter 6, verse 18. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Look at verse 20. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. Verse 22. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Now the truth is clear to see. I'm not going to speak in depth on this passage. I just want to draw the difference here between occupation and liberation. Occupation and liberation, it's clear to see it is impossible to be a servant of God and righteousness if we are not free from sin. If I am a servant to sin, then I am free from righteousness. But if I am free from sin, then I am a servant to righteousness and God and holiness and so forth. Okay? So it is impossible to be a servant of God and righteousness if we're not free from sin. Now, the bottom line is this. Sin's result is occupation. Salvation's result is liberation. Sin conquers for the purpose of occupation. Salvation conquers for the purpose of liberation. That's the honest truth. Satan desires to occupy for his own purposes. Jesus desires to liberate for the glory of God. Sin occupies, and the result is slavery and dread. Salvation liberates, and the result is the privilege of serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I think about people. I think about Billy Sunday. I think about the two people Billy Sunday was in his life. I think about Billy Sunday under the occupation of sin. A drunk. Alcoholic. His baseball talents through the roof. Fastest man in a baseball uniform when he played. Speed around the bases quicker than anybody else in his day. And yet before salvation, Billy Sunday was occupied by Satan and sin and bound to liquor. But when he got saved up here in the city of Chicago, there at the Pacific Garden Mission, Billy Sunday was liberated by Jesus and freed to serve God and had the old sawdust trail, and they say preached a million souls to Jesus Christ. There's a big difference between occupation and liberation. I think of Oliver B. Green. That's a name you don't hear a lot of anymore, but man, you talk about a preacher. Whew, if you could ever get online, get any of his sermons or get some CDs, you talk about tough, my friend. He was tough. He'd lay it out there. Got saved in 1935. Before Oliver B. Green got saved, he was occupied by sin and bound to a life of debauchery. Far more than just an alcoholic. He lived a life of debauchery. Occupied, bound in bondage, dictated to by sin. But when Oliver B. Green got saved, he was set free. Set free to serve God as a preacher and the host of the Gospel Hour radio broadcast that started on one station in Georgia. And before he went to heaven, his radio station broadcast was heard in all 48 contiguous states here in this part of America, the contiguous United States. All 48 states where he was reaching into all of those states. So you talk about the difference between occupation and liberation. I think about Mel Trotter. Occupied and enslaved by Satan and sin to a life of despair and drunkenness. I think about Mel Trotter so bad, friend, some of the story about Mel Trotter was exaggerated and it offended him. But some of it was not exaggerated. He did have the sick daughter and he did take the medicine and the money that was intended to purchase medicine for his sick daughter, and he did go down and spend it on alcohol. And his sick daughter did die. But the story got exaggerated that he took the shoes off of her feet in the casket and took the shoes and pawned it off to get money to buy alcohol. That was not true. Monroe Parker in his book said that he knew personally Mel Trotter, and that's not true. You heard preachers tell that a lot, but that did not happen. But he did sell the shoes. Excuse me. He did take the money that was intended for medicine and spend it on alcohol. His daughter did die. Then I think about Mel Trotter after he was saved and liberated by Jesus Christ. And he lived a life of rescuing those like him through the rescue mission ministry. Now hear me, friend. Sin always occupies. Salvation always liberates. Sin imprisons, and salvation frees. And I just want to say tonight, I am so thankful to be free tonight. I'm not talking about just my American, the freedom I enjoy here as an American citizen and have enjoyed for all of my life. I've never met in a public assembly in fear of my life. I've never had to check with an authority if I could drive somewhere, get in the car and take my family. I didn't have to go down and get permission from the local police department. I've lived in freedom all my 56 years, and I'm thankful for that. But I am more thankful tonight to be free inside. I remember all too well the occupation of sin in my life. The dominance. And the crazy thing about it, it was that I thought I was doing my own thing. I thought I was free. I was in control and loving it. And the truth is, I was occupied by a power far greater than I realized. And I was anything but free. I was a slave in bondage. Because that's what sin does. Sin occupies. Jesus liberates. The sad thing for me nowadays is to watch young people living in the same deceived state that I lived in for those years. I said deceived state because I didn't see it. That's the whole problem with deception. Deception is not I'm doing wrong and I know it. Deception is I think I'm okay and not realizing that you're not. In fact, I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but the last mention in the Word of God about the devil. It takes place in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10. This is what it says. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Isn't it interesting that the last thing said about Satan's character in the Word of God was that he was a deceiver? Is that not his greatest work? Does he not blind the eyes of adults and young people by the thousands today? And you know, and the unsaved, you know, I understand. But boy, when he gets away, when he gets his way and worms his way into the life of a young person in an independent Baptist church, and they're behind the wall of deceit where they really think, I'm doing fine. Deceived. It is the greatest work of Satan. And deceives people into thinking that I am free, I'm doing my own thing, and I am in control, and I'm calling the shots of my life. When the truth of the matter is, you never have been more in bondage when sin occupies, because sin's an occupier. Jesus is the liberator. Jesus sets free. And so I'm so thankful tonight to be free. I'm thankful tonight to be free from the alcohol. I'm thankful tonight to be free from the drugs. I'm thankful tonight to be free from all the sins that just empower and overtake and dictate. I'm thankful tonight to be free in my soul. I'm thankful for the day I got saved and Jesus came in, not for the purpose of dictating and occupying, but liberating me to serve Him. What a blessing it is. Now here's something else we need to remember, and I'm done. Freedom always comes at a cost. Freedom always comes at a cost. You know, I'll admit, go back to what I said on Sunday. We stood here on Sunday and sang God Bless America on the heels of a Supreme Court decision that overturned Proposition 8. It was empty for me. I'm sorry. But there's still something about that flag that deserves our respect. That red represents blood. 291,557 American military personnel died in World War II. That does not count the wounded. That's just a few thousand short of 300,000 American military personnel. Folks, that's a lot of bloodshed. That's a lot of official cars pulling up outside the residence of homes in rural areas and downtown, residential districts of big cities and rural farm areas, the official car pulling up and the man in uniform stepping out of the car and walking to the door with the telegram in his hand to read to a wife or a mother that your loved one has paid the ultimate price. Think about that. That's a lot of bloodshed. And you know the unbelievable part of that is? That was the price of liberation for France and England and Holland and Belgium and eventually Germany. Not even America, really. For countries not even our own. And yet that's what this nation has been synonymous with for all these years. The bastion of freedom and liberty is synonymous with those terms, never moving into a country with the intention of occupying and dictating with a ruthless form of government, always moving into a country with the intention of liberating and setting the people free to govern themselves. And that comes at great cost. And our spiritual liberation came at great cost. As the sinless Son of God gave His own blood that we might be free. Maybe not as much bloodshed, volume-wise. I imagine Jesus in His human body had the same amount of physical blood flowing in His veins that we men have. But oh, the power in that blood. It's unbelievable. The power of the 291,557 American military personnel that shed their blood brought freedom for France and England and Holland and Belgium and Germany. But the blood of one brings freedom to any person, to any sinner who will come under the power of that cleansing flow. Amen. So while we enjoy and celebrate our national liberty tomorrow, our freedom, let's not forget the spiritual liberation we enjoy in Jesus Christ. Sin always occupies. Salvation liberates. Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. Now, Heavenly Father, my heart is warm tonight when I think about what our country has been. Synonymous with liberty and freedom. Down through these years, it meant liberation to people in bondage. I'm more thankful tonight for Jesus, the great Son of God, whose blood makes us free. The occupation of sin, the deceit and the dominance of sin, so overwhelming in our lives until Jesus came, the truth. And the truth made us free. So tonight, dear Lord Jesus, we are grateful for the blood that you shed and the price that you paid and the liberty you brought to our souls when we got saved. We are grateful. Grateful people. We have been blessed. Thank you. Thank you for our country. But thank you, Jesus, for coming to the cross. For I ask it in your name.